Thank you for everybody coming to the War College here at 2015 Celesticon. My name is Dana Lombardi. I'm running the War College, and we had a good series of guests this year, including Leland Erickson, who is here to talk about something a little bit different than military history or even science history, although you're going to talk about some science fiction gaming history.
Oh, count on it.
But right now he's got a very, very interesting talk, which he will then, after this talk, do demos in the miniatures room, and we're going to have him set up there to show you exactly what he does, which is called kit bashing, or recycling with an attitude.
That's right.
Right, and we'll let you go ahead and start and tell us all about it, Leland.
With pleasure, Dana. Welcome, everyone, to Kit Bashing Starships, or Recycle with an Attitude and Conquer the Galaxy at the Same Time. So, in the beginning, 1974... somebody figures out that you can take miniature figures of a science fiction nature and play games with them. And that's the granddaddy of all science fiction miniature war games, Starguard, which was first published in 1974. It has a first edition copy I have. But that's all ground combat. And anybody that's read Starship Troopers and read any of the classic novels, of course, there's lots of them that involve spaceship fights, and everybody loves the imagery of the spaceship. So, oh, come on. There we go. There were board games in the 70s when I was in high school and first encountering sci-fi literature in a really earnest way, and Star Trek was in reruns on local television, so I got some exposure there. But I really began to enjoy the literature. I was reading the works of Keith Laumer and Gordon Dixon and Paul Anderson and H. Beam Piper. And I just loved the idea of spaceship fights and so on. And I saw a lot of Japanese sci-fi movies with rockets fighting flying saucers and so on. And I thought it was a neat idea. Well, there were board games. Like, this is one I played in high school, Alpha Omega. Kind of a fun game back in its day. Came across one called The E3, which was actually based upon one of the novels written by Paul Anderson called The People of the Wind. And in it, there is a major space battle that takes place in the home system of an avian race known as the E3, from which the game derived its title. And this game, in fact, was a multi-tiered sort of strategic or grand tactical operations game. So it was a lot of space combat followed by if you were successful, the Terran player, you then dropped your troops and whatnot to try to take the home world away from the E3, like what happened in the book. And there was the classic board game Imperium. And so again, you know, you're seeing the pattern here. Board games, yes. Fun graphics of spaceships in battle, yes. Great. No miniatures. I mean, the artwork is cool. Look at this first cover of Stellar Conquest. What beautiful, elegant spacecraft. I mean, I wish somebody would do a miniature like that. It's like the right blend of pulp and high-tech, I think. I think it's gorgeous. And the counters, the graphics, these are the counters from Imperium. I mean, these are great. You know, you got fighters and battleships and super dreadnoughts and strike cruisers and so on. And they look really, really kind of intriguing and interesting, but a lot's left to your imagination. You see silhouettes. And then, of course, there were fanzines. This is Space Gamer. This is number 8. The early format, it was a little booklet, black and white. But it had great little articles. They talked all about board games, you know, and different ideas and the fictional stories and all kinds of cool artwork. And there'd be drawings of spaceships. You know, I mean, this is from Warp War in 1977, but I mean, which came a little later than what I'm talking about now. We're talking about 74, 75 in a run up here. So I'm exposed to board games and playing board games. I've been exposed to Starguard, so I know there's ground combat. I've even begun to get some of the miniatures through mail order. I'm getting my friends introduced to it. And they were fun. That's a reboot of the original cover art for Warp War. I mean, you just got to love it, you know? And kind of space 1999-ish vibe, too, you know? So, I mean, I grew up with the Jerry Anderson stuff, you know, UFO and saw Cap Scarlet, and I thought how cool it would be to have spaceship battles. You know, campaign systems like Star Empires. I mean, just, oh my God, you know, I mean, it's all this stuff, but no miniatures. I was a sad puppy. No miniatures. I used to build model airplanes starting at age 8. I loved to paint miniatures. But there were no spaceships. Then somebody comes out and issues what was, for me, the first miniature wargaming rules for spaceship miniatures, which was Alien Space by Luzzaki. And it was like kind of intriguing, you know? Okay, great, spaceship combat, be played on a floor, and the graphics are kind of cool, and you're supposed to cut these out and glue them onto a piece of square cardboard. That's your ship. That's how you fire. You had a string, and the string was like so many, like a foot, 2 feet, 3 feet long, depending on the range of your weapon, and that's how you figured out if you could hit somebody. If your string could touch across the card, you could hit them. But you needed a floor to maneuver and fight. Now, who had a floor big enough? I mean, they even did a second edition. I got to get me a copy. It's still a print through Luzzaki, and it's just a classic, really, to me. It should have, just for the inspiration. But again, back in the day, no miniatures. Where are the minis? I'm pissed. Where are the minis? There's no minis. And I'm going to a local game store, a local hobby shop that has a great game selection. All the board games I could want. Wargame miniatures are coming out for historical stuff. You know, there's the first GHQ bike or armored tanks for World War II, and there's Rocco mini tanks for the Cold War, and that's it. And then Captain Lou publishes the Starfleet Battle Manual, which is based on the Star Trek, the Starfleet Technical Manual, which Franz Joseph Designs published. And he put out some plastic Federation ships taken straight from the manual, but no Klingons. There were no Romulans. How am I going to have a battle? So I kind of, and I wasn't a big Trek fan anyway. So I'm like, I kind of toyed around, I bought a few, and I thought, it's just not working. We're not there yet. Then John McEwen published this in 1975, Star Wars 2250, and I got wind of it. So I sent off my little mail order, my high school allowance, and I got some of his spaceships, which looked like 1950s hood ornaments. And then I read the rules, and what was really involved with basing the ships and actually maneuvering them, you had to build a 6-foot-tall flight stand that was marked off in 1 inches all up and down the dowels. And then you had to make a clip with a clothespin and brass wire to attach the ship because it involved three-dimensional movement, and yes, you needed an open floor again. And I started seeing ads like this, really intriguing, and some miniature. Then first I see some magazine ads, I think these look really cool, but where are we going to get them? So I keep bugging the hobby shop guys. Well, come on, the guy's name was Wolfgang. Wolf, when are we going to get these? Said, I'll talk to the boss again. I'll talk to Bob again. Okay, so no ships, still no minis. I still see magazine ads, and man, these are looking cool. They look like Space 1999, and I was kind of into it. The Federation ships, the human stuff, and then you got the alien stuff. I mean, it looks like it came flying right out of Gerry Anderson's design studio. I'm thinking, this is really cool. So I'm thinking, there's got to be something here. And then I realize, hey, wait a minute. This is the designs that are in the graphic on the counters in my Alpha Omega board game. So maybe I can combine the two somehow. Come on, GIF. And I see this picture, which they created. And I'm like, oh my God. And then the minis did arrive. And my first spaceship minis were produced by Valiant Miniatures, their Stardate 3000 line. And they look like something almost near future NASA would work out. I mean, modular designs and so on. There's some I have painted in my collection. I mean, they do. They look like something out of Gerry Anderson. But what's really a kick here is that this is the first example I encountered in a serious way of the kit fashing art. These were all made, the masters for these miniatures were all made by using model railroad accessories and gluing them all together to make the masters. So those are all built up out of model railroad accessories. That big dish bridge on the big battle cruiser in the foreground, that's the front of a steam engine. That's how he did it. So they're quite cool. And thankfully, after hiatus, they've been back in production now for over 10 years. And they're still available from Valiant Miniatures. And they are a full line of human and alien stuff, and they're quite good. You see From top to bottom, a Draco-class destroyer, an Atreides-class merchant ship, and a Perseus-class battlecruiser. So, the problem is they're fiddly. You got to put them together. And this is before something called Crazy Glue came along. So I had to use a two-part epoxy mixed with a toothpick. And I'm a high school kid. And the only paint I understand is spray paint. What could possibly have gone wrong? These have been done. These are modern acquisitions, and I've done two with acrylics. And you can see the results. So they are beautiful. They're still, after all these years, these are still very nice models. So there was nothing else. Star Trek or this. And the bases were these spindly little things with wire. And I couldn't make heads or tails of them. They just didn't look right. So, like this poor sad puppy, I was just like, I can't win. And then suddenly, it's 1977. And here comes Star Wars. And I mean, I never saw wargaming in space the same way again. The possibilities. I mean, this opening scene was absolutely flabbergasted. And you're right, sir, those were models made by kit bashing. And I'd already been making stuff for Stargarden for my ground armies. And it just all started to come together, the possibilities. I mean, come on, who doesn't want to fly an X-Wing? I mean, seriously, this is just the imagination running crazy. I was buying all the art books. I saw the movie 11 times in a local theater. I mean, I just to watch the models and study the models, I was so fascinated. And I started seeing these adverts suddenly appearing for these really cool-looking metal miniatures for spaceship wargaming, coming from Superior Miniatures. And they were just insane. I mean, they were just dripping in detail. And they put out their own rules, Starfleet Wars, which were actually kind of meh. But the ships are gorgeous. And notice the Terran ships at the bottom there, kind of an interesting, familiar shape to them. Couldn't be. But they have five distinctive factions, five distinct fleets with everything from fighters to battleships to super dreadnoughts. I mean, just stunning. But, I mean, some of them looked a bit familiar. And these, by the way, are back in production through Monday Night Productions up in Washington. They're just dripping with detail. Same guy, same approach. The masters were made using model ship parts, as well as whatever else he got a hold of, but mainly naval ship parts, because Superior already made naval warships in 2400 scale. So he just kind of dug in and got to work. Modified a few things here and there. These things are one-piece castings, and they, to this day, are dripping in detail. It's just amazing. As a painter, you can have a field day with one of these. So then I saw the price. They cost what? I'm a high school kid. I just have an allowance. My parents won't let me get a job because they don't want me to mess up my studies, they said. I can't afford that. I mean, they're beautiful, but I only have $5. And the big ones cost how much? I was just out of luck. All I could do is sit there and pine. And of course, more stuff starts coming out in the 70s as we're moving toward the 80s. Everybody starts issuing at least one or two sets of spaceships or a spaceship line. This is Grenadier's offering, Space Squadron 2988. I had this whole set once upon a time. Stupid kid that I was, I eventually got rid of everything except two of the ships in this set, and I have some from another set. And I'm thanking God every day I still have them. These are great, even by today's standards. And I wish somebody would bring them back. I mean, this is a full line. You have cruisers and fighters and carriers and supply tenders, landing craft. You thought of everything. These are some of the ones I still have. And they're beauties, even by today's standards. A pair of Aurora-class strike cruisers and probably the best space mine-laying vessel anyone's ever made. Now, you can see all the lovely mines just laid on the back of that thing, ready to go. I mean, I use it to this day. It's just a beauty. It's like, hello, have some new thermonuclear mines. I knew you'd enjoy them. So now and again, I was able to get the smaller ships. These are from the Superior line. These are some carnivore and destroyers. These were actually the first, among the first spaceship miniatures I ever got. Were three just like these. And these are, of course, new ones I got years later. Spray painted the originals red because I didn't know any better. And there you go. But the problem is I never got around the problem of basing them. For whatever reason in my tiny brain, I just never got that problem solved. I just couldn't deal with the steel wire coming out of a metal something. And I never figured out the trick of using steel washers or anything like that. Remember, crazy glue has just come out. I'm still fussing with epoxy. It's just getting too fiddly and frustrating. And plus, I never quite found rules that worked on a table. Everybody had to use a floor. You know, it's like, it was just throw your hands up. Path of least resistance. I'm approaching college. So my mind turns to other things. Even though I still like to look at all the pictures, I just can't afford these things. I can't afford them. Even if I had them, I really couldn't figure out how to use them. So I gave up on spaceships for a while. And then, 1980s, something happens. A little game called Silent Death comes along. And it rocked my world. It's a board game played on a hex mat, but with space fighter miniatures. So I got the best of both worlds. I got the ease of a board game with the fun of miniatures, and the so I can paint them any way I want and have a blast. And what made the game really work is it's easy to learn. It's the core rules are no harder than Monopoly. It's fast-paced, it's dynamic, and it is a hoot. And it really does, you got to be a tactician to play it successfully, but it's so much fun. So I'm back in the cockpit. And I mean, space fighters are cool. That's a Havoc from Silent Death. I mean, they're cool. You can paint them all kinds of ways. You can use decals. You can do whatever. You have great fun and imagination. Again, who didn't want to fly an X-Wing? I mean, the game's a blast. This is an actual game shot from a game I ran down in Texas a number of years ago. And it's the one in the foreground is about to get plastered by a salvo of missiles before he can damage that little funny-looking ship in the right corner there. But again, it's a fun game. It's a great multiplayer game. You can get new people playing it and understanding it in about 10 minutes. So, I mean, I wanted bigger ships, though. I wanted my fighters to go after bigger ships like this A-Wing about to go through the front window of a Star Destroyer bridge. I mean, come on. You know, by this point, I've seen, you know, I've seen Empire Strikes Back. I've seen Return of the Jedi. I want to have big fights. But I couldn't find any suitable kits. Nothing big. Didn't work. And then I got some inspiration. Saw the movie Aliens in Sulaco. And then I thought, hey, wait a minute. An empty deodorant stick? Maybe some plastic spoons? A couple of the flight bases? Because we do have destroyers in Silent Death. They use two stands. So one thing leads to another. An empty deodorant container, some spare model parts, some keys from a broken computer keyboard, some toy parts, some paint, some decals from model airplane. We now have a destroyer for Silent Death. So where do you begin? You ask yourself your subject, whether it's a ground vehicle, spacecraft, what's its job, what's it supposed to do? That's going to give you a baseline. Give you an idea, too, of the sense of how big you want the model. You know, how what makes it go? Well, obviously, these apply to land craft vehicles, but a spaceship, obviously, it's a spaceship, so it'll have an engine section. So you want to captain a starship. Well, this is my rules. Rule one, KISS principle always, keep it simple. What's its job? You use a ready-made container. You find something like a plastic bottle that's a reasonably thick and robust enough that you can stand to be handled. That's something crinkly. And if you shampoo bottle, you see the shape. Look at the shape. Try to tune out the color, the advertising, whatever. If it helps, just give it a quick spritz of a spray primer or something to get that out of your eyesight and out of your mind's eye. See the shape. The job description. Is it a destroyer? Is it a cruiser? Is it a battleship? Is it a carrier? That's going to dictate how you want to detail it. That's going to dictate like how big or small your engines are, how big or small your guns are. What do your favorite rules say about them? What's the technological premise? Is it going to be Gerry Anderson style near future tech like Space 1999 with fuel containers and so on in plain sight? Is it going to be Star Wars-y? Is it going to be Star Trek ultra high tech? So that kind of gives you a feel for where you want to go aesthetically. Of course, the rules of the game. Rule two, glue the parts, not yourself. It is cyanoacrylate if you're working with crazy glue. Okay, so don't get crazy. Remember what it does. It will glue your flesh together as fast as, or you to the part as fast as it will glue the part to the part. So just safety first. So you find your object, you know its function, then you gather bits. You want it to be depict what its job is, so you want to think in terms of, say you're making a destroyer. Okay, so that means it's going to have lighter weapons, maybe a lot of emphasis on flak weapons, as it were, defensive weapons, maybe some one-shot missiles or nuclear missiles of some kind, you know, whatever your game system says they are, antimatter, whatever. But essentially you think in like naval parlance, what is a destroyer versus what is a cruiser versus a battleship? What are their jobs? That reflects their look. You get it clear on where you're going to glue what to what, you know. Ponder your parts, get a vision. And what inspires you? Literature is a big one for me. Obviously, mass media now, we have television. We have the Sci-Fi Channel. We have all kinds of stuff. We have all kinds of schlock movies out there, which are fun just to watch just for the models presented. You know, hit mute and let it cycle through and just look at the models. Computer and video games. There's a lot of ideas you can have from those. There are magazines out that show you the actual graphics, and you can sit there and ponder those for ideas. Movies, obviously. Star Wars, of course. We have a new one coming. Yay! Historical topics. Historical vehicles, aircraft, ships. I look a lot at naval architecture for ideas for making spaceships. So, we start with a shape. Here's a selection of odds and ends and shapes that would be ideal for making spacecraft. An empty correction tape device. The two silver thingies, those are actually flavoring for water. I got those marked down to nothing. I'm not going to use that fructose corn syrup crap, so I was like paid like 80 cents for each of them at Target clearance. I'm just like, how'd it go? I have a total of five of those. I'm going to make a convoy of freighters. That's a nasal spray. I have used that three times already to make some really awesome looking attack ships. I mean, it's a great shape. And I just, that's the nose, obviously the blue cap will be the front, and it's got a nice taper to it, but I got a flat front so I can mount weapons on it or something, and in the back I put a bunch of big old souped up engine vents and whatnot, so it's like a fast attack ship. Again, the correction tape device is great because it has almost like an alien look to it, so with the right parts you get a nice little alien vessel. That gadget there, that white pen-like gadget, it's actually a battery-powered tweezer. It's like one of those throwaway, you know, gadgets. Again, I got it for a pennies. It's perfect. I got a couple of them. They're going to be a perfect light escort vessel when I get around to them. But again, see the shape. See what its job could be. The silver containers are perfect as freighters. They're bulky. They're fat. They're just right. Whereas the others are more military in bearing. You have a creative vision. Depending on the game you play, it will give you an idea of the tech base. Like this is from Warp War. This is somebody's recent rendering of an original Winchell Chung art for that old micro game board game. So there's a warp ship, and it's launching one of its system ships. So again, you could build a scaffold framework type ship with the right parts. It's all in your tech level, you know, what kind of look you're trying to achieve. So, I mean, there's great sources of parts. Plastic rhinestones, you can get them in bulk bags at craft stores. I mean, there's your laser cannon barrels. You know, you've got plastic or beads or whatnot. Yeah, I mean, just all kinds of shapes and parts. They're reasonably inexpensive. A lot of these things, too, keep your eyes peeled. I can pick them up at garage sales. Self-adhesive rhinestones, these are very handy, too. It speeds up construction. Stick it in place, then give it a little bit of crazy glue. You get some great shapes you can work with. These are my basic tools. Some thin wire cutters, a basic X-Acto knife, crazy glue, and a pair of sharp scissors for cutting decals or very thin plastic. Great source of detailing. Save old credit cards, old gift cards, or the throwaway little flimsy cards they send you in the mail when they try to pitch you on a new loan or something. Sheet plastic. If you want to get fancier, you can invest in a Dremel, obviously, or you could just do a pin vise. If you want to get fancy, you don't even need it for this. Have an idea. go to Google Images, pop in military starship. Watch what comes roaring at you. The creativity out there is amazing. This is just one artist's impression of what a realistic, scientifically realistic, space warship of the destroyer-class warship might actually look like. A spherical warship with various missile launchers and various kinetic rail guns and whatnot. And you can see there's directional jets around the circumference. It's very cleverly done. Well, you could back engineer something like this using a plastic Christmas ornament, which you can get on clearance. I bought a whole bunch of them, a pack of six, on clearance from IKEA for $2. And they're big suckers, so I'll be making dreadnoughts. There's one in production I just started, and I'm going to be working on that while I do my demo. Plastic sample spoons. You go to the market, you can take a sample, keep your spoon. Makes great stuff. Those are two spoons glued together, some plastic beads. I put a little half-round rhinestones on each side. That's where I left off, and I set some parts aside. I'm going to make a fast attack boat out of this. Ping pong ball. Remember the spherical spaceship? And that's a plastic cap from a little squeezy yogurt treat for children. And just some plastic sequins and little plastic buttons for making stuffed animals and whatnot. And some self-adhesive decorating studs for clothing. I've got the basis for a Traveler Universe warship. See, there's self-adhesive rhinestones again. You can get these for like $1 at Michael's. I mean, it's just amazing. Where were these in the 70s when I really wanted to make spacecraft? I mean, they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes and assortments. And $2-3, you can get a grillion of them. You can find stuff on clearance in places like Michael's, like these. I got these for $2. They're refrigerator magnets. They're computer keyboards. Okay, they pre-magnetized gun turrets for me. All I got to do is attach a washer, a steel washer. I can pose the gun if I want to. Or I can just glue it down, steal the magnet out of it or something else. And there's the front end of that spherical ship. See the sequin in the middle, that hole? That's the beam projector. That's its main gun. Secondary stuff are those little two-hole buttons around the circumference. The spheres on the front are presumed to be something like shield generators or whatever. I'm going to add a little more detail when I get ready to, before I paint it. But again, paint, decals, you have spaceship. You've made it for pennies. You've made it by recycling. You've made it out of craft items. And it's just a fun way to scratch more than one itch. Here's another one. I made a, again, this is a, this one was a body wash bottle. I did this in Texas. And using various things like self-adhesive enamel decorative labels, I used that to build up the paneling detail, some plastic rhinestones. I put a Lego part on the front of it, which has a big hole in the middle, so it's perfect to represent this big spinal mount weapon system this ship has, which is why I have the quip, "Good night, say good night, Gracie." And again, spoons, caps, whatever. This particular menacing flying brick was made out of a plastic travel case for a man's razor, a shaver. So I got this nice blocky look where I mounted all the weapons up front on this brute and then put that big skull and crossbones crest, which is for jewelry making, by the way, dirt cheap at Michael's. I just cut the loop off where you attach the lanyard for it to be a necklace or a pendant. So I got a big nice skull and crossbones crest on this starship. And just built her up. Now, in fact, I made two of them. That's another thing. Don't limit yourself to one. You could potentially build a whole squadron if you collect enough of the same identical parts and use the same identical container. The bases are from Litco. Remember I mentioned having all that trouble with bases? When they released Silent Death, they released those nifty little one-hex flight bases. Well, since then, specialty makers like Litco and Corsac Engineering have produced acrylic bases. And metal magnetic adapters and so forth. And I cannot sing the praises of Litco enough. They make them hexes, they make double hexes, they've got different sizes. Chris is doing a bang up job. Adaptation. These are two cheap Japanese anime models. The big one is less than $4 at the current exchange rate through Hobby Link Japan. The little guy is less than $3 at current exchange rate. It's ridiculous, but they're great sources of parts at that price. The space station was made out of Zoid toy parts, some cosmetic lids, and various other odds and ends. And some sequins, some buttons or rhinestones, some toy parts, and so on. So the question I get hit with all the time, though, is what color to paint? Well, find inspiration. Anything's possible. Here's some great, these are my three Pinterest pages that I have up, that I do partially as an exercise and inspiration and partly to inspire others. So you're looking for the Interstellar Recycling and Salvage Company, Rolling Hot, which is a slang, one of the titles of the Hammer Slammers novel, which is mostly ground combat subjects, and Recycling with an Attitude, which is, I tried to make it dedicated to kit bashing, but I got a little crazy. So there's a lot going on there. But again, it's all kinds of things that inspire. Go to Pinterest, put in Starship, and watch what shakes loose. Because there's all kinds of things. That's one I built years ago in Texas. That picture's up on Pinterest on one of my pages. And as you can see, I used that. The front of that ship is a Christmas ornament. It's a plastic Christmas ornament stuck into a bottle. I mean, this is how I do what I do. Anime. Yamato 2199 is the current iteration of a Japanese classic. The graphics are stunning. The space battles are jaw-dropping. Great source of inspiration. And there's modeling, there are actual model kits of these ships available now. So if you're into it, you should be ordering from Hobby Jilling Japan like yesterday, because the exchange rate is fantastic for us right now. But you get inspired by this stuff. I mean, this is one of their alien battleships. I mean, it's just the idea of the use of colors. Who uses green on spaceships anymore? But it's very effective. Look at real speculation. This is the speculative NASA FTL ship. I mean, again, great source of ideas. You know, and they can be colorful. Look at this one's got all the protective gold foil. Remember I was talking about the Gerry Anderson tech approach? That Copernicus, that big module at the front on the left there, that looks suspiciously like some of my wife's face cream containers. You know, and I've got some that are that shape. I mean, this is not that hard a type of style of ship to bank. It's all in how you accessorize this massive energy projector in the front of this ship, which is, again, a body wash bottle. I built it up using plastic rhinestones, a Lego part, and the cap that goes on the examination device your doctor uses to look in your ear. I just snaked a couple extras. So it makes a great, you know, massive energy cannon type affair. The twin lighter cannons down to the back right of it, those are the male end of the plastic label string connectors that they use on garments. You buy a new shirt, save it. You've got a laser gun. And you can see how I did this. Again, building up with self-adhesive metal decorating plates for scrapbooking, plastic rhinestones, some model parts. Very effective little destroyer there. And I was inspired in the paint scheme by looking at history. That scheme was based on a U.S. Navy scheme used in the Pacific during World War II. You can go the Pulp Fiction route. Bright, flashy gold. These are two of the ships I kitbashed to playtest the War Rockets miniature system, which is a fun little game. If you like Pulp Fiction, it's fun. But notice how I built the ship in the lower part of the picture there. The engines coming off the wings. The wings are sheet plastic cut from credit cards. The engines are wall anchors. They're drywall anchors. Just slipped on the edge and glued in place. And the body of the ship is built up from the drop tanks from plastic jet aircraft. So that's like a series of drop tanks glued together to produce that teardrop result. And complete with the teardrop bridge. And I just painted the portholes on it. The other was based, I started with a toy. I used cheap plastic mini Christmas ornaments and plastic beads and built it up to that rather more formidable battleship. That's straight out of the box. That's a Space 1999 Hawk Interceptor. Again, you can adapt. You can change a paint job. Put an original paint job on it. It's yours. I mean, you can add things, take away things. It's for free-for-all. What inspires you? This is another view of the Sulaco from Aliens. Notice the twin rail guns that are circled. You know, this inspired me intensely when I first saw this in the movie theater. And that's what led to the bug light coming on about the empty deodorant container sitting in my parts box. because I'd used them previously for things like cooling towers on reactors for Stargard. So then I wound up with the Jericho, and the rest is history. Now, terrain. The shape can be anything you want. You want to build terrain. There's things in space. It ain't just empty. There's planets, there's asteroids, and you may need an asteroid base. So I took a big old hunk of styrofoam packing, and I tore at it and tore at it, and then I sprayed it with black spray paint, which the solvent kind of half melted some of it. So I reinforced it with a little bit of white glue and so on, and then I painted it with acrylics, and I glued down a whole bunch of plastic odds and ends like the space bar and an old keyboard, and I created a secret hidden asteroid base, which is just perfect for space warfare. And that's also how I made all these asteroids. And I numbered the bases. They're on permanent bases, so because each asteroid might have a decided hit point value if somebody tries to chew their way through the asteroid field by shooting them. So I have this nifty asteroid base. And I used game tokens representing laser cannons from an old Buck Rogers board game to make laser cannon towers to add even more to this handy little hidden base. So that's one of the tokens glued onto a key from a broken keyboard and some rhinestones. That is, I can thank my late mother. That was one of her costume jewelry earrings. It's now a hangar door. And so it's kind of hard to see in this. This is the best picture I could find. This is the space station from Star Trek The Wrath of Khan. But again, an easy thing to back engineer. Bottle caps, plastic rhinestones, plastic beads, model parts. So now I have an orbital platform and I have two military orbital battle stations. And again, one on the left was just a couple of soda caps and some model parts. The one on the right, a soda cap, two cosmetic lids, and assorted model parts. The one in the middle is a giant rhinestone, plastic beads, more rhinestones, a bunch of model parts, including two secondary gun turrets off a bottle of the battleship Bismarck. I mean, it's just a question of using a little imagination to make an effective game piece. And of course, you've met this one already, and you can see more of the model parts and toy parts hanging below it. And I got everything so it centers and is balanced perfectly on one hex stand, which is perfect for silent death, because one hex is abstracted to 1 kilometer in that game. So it's just right. And again, it's all about the shape. Parts is parts, and you always recycle with an attitude.
So what we're going to do is go ahead. We have a little bit of time to do Q&A here, but Elon is going to set up out in the miniatures room, and he's going to be. You've got to go get your. You've got your stuff there, right? And we're going to. Okay, so what I'm going to do is.
So what? It's our trial and road show.
After our Q&A here, Ann is going to help you go out there and find what table he's going to be at to help him set up.
If you want to do that, I can pick up here.
Well, I was going to break it down, unless you wanted to do that.
I can break it down.
Okay, all right. Then we'll do it that way. So how about Q&A? Does anyone have any questions?
Sure.
Have you seen that new glue now where they applied the applicator and use a light on it to harden it?
No, I haven't. That sounds fascinating.
Oh, it is. It comes in like a lunch.
Okay.
And you apply it to wherever you want. It's gap filling and everything.
Nice.
It stays liquid until you hit it with the light that's up with the kit and hardens it.
Now I'm going to have to find. That sounds fascinating.
It's just amazing.
That is fascinating.
Last night, well, hit a Tyranids. We were playing 40K. Mm-hmm. The tail broke off of it. You know how fragile they are. Mm-hmm. This guy brought it out and said, "Watch this." I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, you mentioned Tyranids. That's another thing I didn't touch on here, but biological technology aliens. They're a trope, and they are very much in silent death. We have the Night Brood, which are pretty scary and ugly, but. Making spaceships for a civilization that uses biology or biotechnology to manufacture or literally grow their craft, if they're assumed to be like living organisms or symbiotes, it's very easy to do. You can do crazy stuff by just go to the toy store, buy a bunch of like plastic lobsters of different sizes, take the legs and claws off, and then just paint them in some ridiculous fashion and mount them on flight stands. And so you have this, essentially, there's the propulsion end, there's the business end. You have this crazy-looking space alien thing. Of course, you could do other things. You can take wire to add, like, tendrils or tentacles. You can find accessory parts from companies like Reaper Miniatures to add spines and spikes and whatnot. There's just a lot you can do. You can look at things like seed pods in the flora section at Michael's. You know, artificial plants. Look at these different artificial plants to get ideas. Maybe if you cut the flower, tropical flower off of one and glue it to another, you produce something that, once painted up in garish metallic colors or something, is some strange alien biotechnology spaceship. I mean, there's just a lot you can do.
I have a friend who, you're talking about Japanese things.
Mm-hmm.
I know he speaks Japanese, so he's a little bit have an advantage over us. But he bought this mollusk set of kits that are all the different octopuses.
Oh, neat.
And there's like 1/7 scale or whatever.
They do some astonishing natural history model kits from time to time. The Japanese have what they call gashpon. And I think it roughly means pocket model or pocket toy or something along those lines. But they're essentially collectible toys or model kits, usually pre-assembled, pre-painted, at the very least. They did a whole series for a while. There was a big run on them of the Space Battleship Yamato line. And I got a bunch of them back in the day when they were out. I made a point. I was all over Hobby Link Japan ordering set after set because I realized this is perfect for wargaming. I just need multiple sets to get enough of to be able to get them. And then I was able to pick up some extras from eBay. So between them, I was like set for life as far as that style of ship. But I wound up with two very distinctive large fleets, one of which is like 99% done in terms of painting and basing. And the other is probably, it's mostly painted. I just had to run to ground enough skull and crossbones decals for the insignia, for the fleet badge, and then basing them. But again, that's not a big deal now that we have those handy, convenient plastic flight bases.
This same gentleman is also an origami specialist.
Oh, wow. I bet he could have fun making an origami fleet.
Well, we used to play Traveler together.
Ah.
And so all the models that were in the Traveler things, he made out of cardboard for us.
See, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. I admire anyone who can do a paper model. I can't do a paper model to save my life. Most I can figure out with paper is to write something on it in my chicken scratch hand. Or to try to try with a pencil and an eraser to sketch something coherent. That's an admirable skill. But again, they have the gashpon, and they do crop up from time to time. But right now, we're in something of a renaissance with the anime models on Hobby Link Japan and the Yamato 2199 series. The yen is so weak right now, they are artificially weak, that as consumers, if we want to order a bunch of ships, I mean, as I was pointing out, their Mecha Kole series, the mini kits, the little box scale kits, are less than $3 each for the current Yamato 2199 kits. The original kits, which are of 1970s tooling, but still quite decent little models of spaceships, are less than $2 each. I mean, it's astounding. The bigger models in the first series, the original series from the 70s, are less than $4 each typically. That cruiser you saw in there, that was less than $4. I bought three of them, and they're perfect to make visually impressive destroyers for Silent Death to be against the Space Fighter minis. I mean, we have regular metal escorts, but that fit on two hexes, but they're just completely out of scale. They're too small. I mean, that was the first thing that prompted me to make the Jericho was I just couldn't deal with these dinky little things that were supposed to be this big, scary destroyer or frigate. I thought, it just didn't work. And so I had to have something that actually looked it. And miniature wargaming, let's face it, it's about the eye candy. We like to see the eye candy. It's like a pageant. We like the presentation.
That's part of the fun.
A big piece of the fun. Here's your lightsaber, sir. Thank you for that. Now let's head on.